Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally, 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 112 countries worldwide over the Internet. If you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage. That's at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. We do it 7 days a week. Stay tuned for tonight's special report on fairy tales when we come back. You know, the income tax and Social Security programs are not compatible with our traditional American values, and that's because these two programs are the second and the eighth planks to the Communist Manifesto. And these programs call for a heavy progressive income tax in place of tithing. Social Security is a social welfare scheme that takes the place of strict liability and individual responsibility. Now, this income tax requires of us that we serve two masters in violation of Matthew 6, verse 24. The income tax requires of us that we rob God in violation of Malachi 3, verse 8. This income tax requires of us that we commit idolatry in violation of Exodus 20, verse 3. The income tax requires of us that we use unjust weights and balances in violation of Leviticus 19, verses 35 and 36. And the income tax requires of us that we sign contracts with these foreign and alien gods that we call government in violation of Exodus 23, verses 32 and 33. Social Security violates the strict liability statute in Exodus 21, verses 28 through 36, and Social Security violates the 10th commandment by appealing to our lust and greed. And then we're taught to call that income redistribution. The scripture calls it just exactly what it is, covetousness and theft, in violation of Exodus 20, verse 17. Now, the God of Israel gave us a better way of life than income tax and Social Security, and our founding fathers followed that better way of life, and that's why I contend that you and I ought to learn how to practice a better way. Now, if you'd like more information about tax and status, call us here at the law school. The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, while you're at it, be sure to ask for our free general law CD package. Remember, it's free. It's a four-hour commentary on the law school. It's entertaining. It's educational. It's informative. And remember, it's free of charge. Now, Tax and Status, our school, is available on compact disc for adult home education. That's not free. And if you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Then click on to the email when you get there and then send us an email request for that free general law CD package. Why don't you do it right now before you forget? All right, we've been talking about fairy tales. Fairy tales. I told you about the little girl here. Her mother works here at the law school. And she's 8 years old and she goes down in the woods and she plays with her fairy friends. And little elf-like guys, I guess, down here in the woods. Now, her excuse in life is that she's 8 years old. Now, I don't have this 8-year-old excuse. You know, I'm pushing 70. I'm an old man. And I used to believe in fairy tales. I used to believe in evolution. That's one of my favorite fairy tales. Communism is a good fairy tale. I reported on communism to you yesterday. But evolution is another fairy tale. It's an adult fairy tale. It's a fairy tale like Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, and like Cinderella. It's fun, and it's kind of funny, and it's enjoyable. And we love it. Evolution. God, we just love it. Especially here in the United States. We teach it in our public schools. We teach it in our churches. We allude to it in our National Geographic magazine. It's a part and parcel of our literature. Every time we pick up the Sunday supplement in our newspapers, there'll be a big long story, an article in there about about evolution, about the sun or the dinosaurs or something, you know, about evolution and billions and billions of years ago. Now, the opposite to that is the biblical revelation that tells us that the earth was created about 6,000 years ago. And we equate the Bible with religion. I'm not quite sure why. You know, when I mention the word Bible, immediately in your mind, you think about the Pope, or Billy Roberts, or Oral Roberts, or Billy Graham, or somebody. And you think about some religious leader over here, like Billy Graham. You know, he goes to his conventions and evangelistic campaigns, and he has a Bible there. I don't know that he ever reads it, but he quotes. You know, he says, "The Bible says!" He gets excited and emotional, kind of like I do sometimes. And he says, "The Bible says." Well, a couple of times when he said, "The Bible says," I looked it up, and the Bible didn't say that. Now, that was just Billy Graham. I don't know if they all do that or not, but I looked it up, and that wasn't what it said at all. And then I got suspicious, and I said, "Well, why would he do that?" You know, if I came on the air here, and I said, "USA Today says," and I gave you a date and a time and a page number, and you looked it up in USA Today and said, "Well, I don't know why that Gordon cited USA Today saying thus and such and so, because when I looked it up, that isn't what the article said at all." When we quote something, we expect it to be accurate. When you hear me cite something or quote something, or you write me a letter and you say, "You made a mistake. That isn't true." I got a letter from a guy the other day, and he said, "Alpha Centauri is not 7,000 light years away." I stand corrected, sir. I think you're right. I didn't look it up, but I asked my boy Dirk. I said, "Wait a minute, isn't Alpha Centauri 7,000 light years away?" And he said, "No." I said, "Well, where in the hell did I get the idea that it was 7,000 years away?" "I don't know. Somebody told me that. I read it someplace, or I thought I read it someplace." Or, you know, you make mistakes once in a while. And I noticed that when I make a mistake here on the air, somebody will send me an email right away, and they'll say, "Wait a minute, you're wrong. You're wrong." I think that there's a certain element of the listening public. They just sit there with pens and papers and tape recording devices to take down every word, and then they can go research it out. "Hey, he made a mistake." Well, I'm not opposed to that. If I make a mistake, you ought to tell me about it, and I'll correct it. So that's what I'm doing now. Alpha Centauri is not 7,000 light years away, but it's a long ways. It was 3 light years, I guess, is what I was told in the letter. So it's only 3. It's not 7,000. Hell, it's just right across the street. It's just next door. 3 light years away. In miles, that's as fast as light travels at 186,000 miles a second for 60 seconds in a minute, 60 minutes in an hour, 24 hours in a day, 365 days a year for 3 years. I don't know how far that is, but it's a fur piece. But here, the moral to the story is that we believe in these quotations when people give them. And so when there's a biblical quotation, we'd kind of like it to be true, accurate, and correct. Now, religious people, they believe in evolution. And secular people, they believe in evolution. Now, the Bible teaches something different than evolution. It's called special creation. That's rejected by religious people, and it's rejected by secular people. It is rejected by Republicans, Democrats, and Communists. Everybody rejects special creation. If you were to take the number of people in the world who believe in special creation and compare them with the number of people who believe in evolution, I think that you'd be bitterly disappointed if you could come up with 1% that believe in special creation. 1%. One in 100. I'm not even sure I find that many. I don't know exactly how many there are, but you know what you believe. And so I just wanted to tell you that fairy tales, you know, are rampant in adult society. In fact, I'm not so sure but what the children have their heads screwed on straighter than the adults. Now, I thought it was kind of funny that this little girl, 8 years old, believes in fairies and has a fairy house down in the woods. And I explained that by saying I don't think that she can distinguish reality from fantasy. But I'm not sure that adults can distinguish reality from fantasy either. And very prestigious people, I mean, people with degrees after their names that have PhDs, you know, and masters and high school diplomas. I'm one of those, you know, that believe in evolution. And then they espouse it. It's a fairy tale. It's not true, but then it's... Now, there's another element over here, and I'm sure I'm going to get some letters that'll say, well, Gordon, you believe in a fairy tale called God. And you know, you got a point there. I don't deny it. And famous evolutionists have made this comment. They've said, if we have to choose between religion and evolution, which is unprovable, just a theory, we're going to choose evolution because the other, that is religion, is unacceptable. And I think you people have a good point. If I had to choose evolution versus Catholicism, that'd be a real tussle in my mind. I mean, you got one insanity based upon another insanity. You got two insanities here, but you get to choose one or the other. Which one of these two insane philosophies do you want to believe? And I hear you evolutionists out there. My God, that just, you know, makes me shudder. And then I look at Baptists, I look at Protestantism and Buddhism and these various religions around the world, and I say, yeah, I hear you loud and clear. But I want to put something here to your mind. You know, when two of us have a disagreement over something, you know, you say that Alpha Centauri is 3 light years away, and then I come along and say, no, it's 7,000 light years away. Well, one of us has to be wrong. One of us. Now, here's that third alternative. Did you know that it could be that both of us are wrong? That it isn't 3, and it isn't 7,000. Maybe it's 9, 11, 14, 27, 386, 3,211, or some other number other than 3 or 3,000. Now, for you, sir, I'm not going to argue with you that you're wrong and that it's not 3, that it's 4 or something else. I'm going to accept your number, but I just for our discussion here, has it ever occurred to any of us that maybe there's a third alternative out there? A third alternative. Because one time when I was a little kid, I was about 12 years old or something, we're rolling newspapers at the Eureka Theater, say. And there's about, I don't know, 4, 5, 6 of us newspaper boys there, and we used to pick up our newspapers at the Eureka Theater. And we'd roll them and then get on our bicycles and go do our paper routes. Well, anyway, one morning we're sitting there talking, and I think it was Eddie O'Neill. He said, all you guys are going to hell, or somebody, I forget, maybe it was David Wagner or somebody, said, all you guys are going to hell because you don't belong to the right church, because I'm a Nazarene. That's David. And he said, I'm a Nazarene, and our preacher says that if you're not a Nazarene, you're going to go to hell. Ed O'Neill, you know, he sits there and says, well, I'm a Catholic, and that's what the priest says. If you're not a Catholic, you're going to go to hell. Well, that picked right up in my mind, because right away I said, well, Pastor Kohler told us that not only do you have to be a Lutheran to go to heaven, if you're not a Lutheran, you're going straight to hell. It was worse than that, though, with us guys, the Lutherans. He said, if you don't belong to the Missouri Synod of the Lutheran Church, I mean, you've got to have the right corporate charter to go to heaven. I wasn't sure where exactly in the Law of Moses or in the Bible it said you had to belong to the Missouri Synod, but that's what the preacher told us. You know, I'm 12 years old. Who in hell am I going to argue with an adult who's probably 40, an old man? You know, here's this old guy, 40 years old. He's a preacher. He says, you got to belong to the Missouri Synod. Now, you know, as an adult today, I look back on that and I kind of chuckle a little bit, laugh, and say, well, you know, that was a fairy tale. But think about it pragmatically, because, you know, all of us adults, we have to wrestle and we have to grope and grapple with this with this very problem, because you're a Catholic and you're training and teaching your children to be Catholics, and with good reason, because you were taught that if you don't belong to the Catholic Church and if you don't practice Catholicism, you're going to go to hell with all those Protestants. And then all you Protestants, you're sitting out there saying, "Hell, you know, if you don't follow this straight Baptist theology over here and get it straight, you're going to go to hell with all those, you know, with those Catholics." And so, where does the fairy tale begin and end, and where does reality begin and end? Has anybody ever thought about that? Did it ever occur to us that maybe evolution is wrong? And that all these religions are wrong, and that there's a third answer out there someplace. Maybe something that you'd never heard of before, and it's just kind of wild and off the wall. But so let me tell you about this third answer. Because when I talk about evolution, this evolution thing over here, just do the numbers. I'm going to flip over here to my evolution story over here. Every once in a while I give you a story on evolution. Here's one of my favorites. I've got about 10 of these favorite evolution stories. But I think this, of all of them, I think this is my favorite evolution story. So I'm going to start right up here with my favorite. Now listen to this. Did you know the sun is shrinking? Now this is a report. This is a scientific report. These are serious scientists. These are people who went to college, got degrees. And the guy who did this research and came up with this evidence, came up with these numbers, came up with this story. This is not some religious nut. This isn't some high school dropout. This isn't some peasant who's marauding around in a rice paddy in Burma. This guy is probably a scientist who's teaching other young people in college science. Teaching them physics, teaching them about the astrophysics and the universe and the Big Bang Theory and all about how billions and billions of years ago all of these things happened. You know, this is a real live somebody somewhere. Now, he's not the only guy that does this because, you know, people have been studying the sun now for a long time. Now, you and I, just lay people, you know, we look up at the sun and we say, well, it's a bright sunny day today. A little warm, hot, nasty, drought conditions. Or the sun is hidden today. It's dull and drab and overcast and raining and so on. But my point is that we're all familiar with the sun, but we don't know anything about it. I mean, if you ask me, how big is the sun? I don't know. I think the last time I saw a number, it was about 750,000 miles in diameter. God, that's big. You know, our Earth here, you know, is only about 6,000 miles in diameter, isn't it? I don't know, if it's 6 or 8 or something like that, but it's 25,000 miles around. So I suppose with a little mathematical calculation here, but my point is that our Earth here is about 10 or 12,000 miles or 6,000 miles in diameter. The sun is 750,000 miles in diameter. God, it's just mind-boggling, isn't it? 750,000 miles. Listen. It's only 232,000 miles to the moon. Can you grasp the significance of that? The diameter of the sun is three times what it is the distance between here and the moon. See, you're getting into numbers here where I got to take off my shoes to do the calculations. You know, you can't just do it on your fingers. I mean, you know, it takes more digits. Hell, even my Sharpie L1197 can't handle numbers like this. I mean, we get so many numbers over here, the thing just goes to E. It just I'm expired. All right, so it's 750,000 miles in diameter. That's big. And then some guy comes along and says, our sun is just a little dwarf star out here. Didn't even a big one. It's just run-of-the-mill, average, everyday garden variety. Oh, my God. You mean there's suns out there that are bigger than that? Oh, yeah, yeah. I don't know how much bigger. I'd have to take your shoes off to work out a calculation like that. All right, so suffice it to say that our sun's a great big ball up there in the sky. I don't know much about it, but there's people out there, fortunately, that are getting grants from our government. This is your tax dollars at work. And keeps these people off the streets and out of the pool halls, keeps them employed. This is welfare for the academic community. You know, this is like WPA for PhDs. Now, listen to this. The sun is shrinking. It's a Newswire report that was made on March 23rd, 1980. Okay? A Newswire report came in over, I don't know which one. You know, AP, Reuters. Maybe it was AP. You know, United Press International. Anyway, the Newswire had this report, and it said, a surprising statement. It says, the sun's diameter appears to have been decreasing by about 0.1% per century. Now, this isn't just the New York Times. This isn't just the Humboldt Standard or the Humboldt Times or the Gainesville Courier, you know. I mean, this is a Newswire report. This is a news service. This goes out all over the world. Everybody in the world, you know, is going to see this in your paper. You're going to see this in the London newspaper or Berlin or Peking, China or Tokyo, Japan. You people are all around the world. You're going to read this. And on March 23rd, 1980, there was this report in one of the Newswire services that the sun's diameter appears to have been decreasing by about 0.1% per century, and scientists have been watching for over 100 years. Oh my God, I'm not even 100 years old. Before I was born, scientists, people with degrees who have been educated in our universities, have been watching the sun. So this isn't something brand new. This didn't just come up in the Clinton years. It's been going on for a long time. Scientists have been watching the sun for 100 years, and the evidence is now conclusive. Evidence? Evidence of what? That the sun exists? That the sun is 750,000 miles in diameter? Hey, listen, I do not know how big the sun is in diameter. I have never measured it. Total hearsay to me. I'm just reporting to you what I've had reported to me and what's between my ears is 750,000 miles in diameter. Now write me a letter and say, no, you're wrong, Gordon, it's only 500,000. Okay. Suffice it to say that it's great big. It's great big. And that it is decreasing in size because it is burning up. Now that's pretty logical, you know, even a farmer like me, you know, I can see that because I got a garbage dump down here, see. And when I dump my garbage truck down there in the garbage dump, it gets to be a bigger and bigger and bigger pile. And then one day I got this great big pile of garbage down here in my garbage field. We call it the garbage field, the cabin field, the mill field. We have names for our various fields. That's because in one field there's a cabin, we call it the cabin field. In another field there's a mill, and we call it the mill field. And then in another field there's a garbage dump, and we call that the garbage field. Okay, now down in my garbage field, we get this great big pile down here. And I've noticed this over the years, just a layperson like myself. Never been to college. When I burn the garbage dump, when I burn the pile, it gets smaller and smaller. It doesn't disappear totally because there's cans and bottles, you know. But you take this great big mound of garbage and you burn it, and you still have a little mound, but it's very, very tiny. And so I could understand how the sun is burning up because I've seen it down here in my own garbage pile. So it makes sense to me that the sun is up there burning, and as it burns, it's getting smaller and smaller. Now, it also says something to me, and just think about this for a minute. If it's burning now and getting smaller and smaller, and if it's been there for any period of time in the past, then I know it's been there for 70 years because I've been making that observation myself. And I've read books and stories about other people who have made observations concerning the sun. And they reported that the sun was there 1,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago, 3,000 years ago. In fact, in the Bible, it talks about the sun in Genesis chapter 1. And that's 6,000 years ago. The history of the sun goes back at least 6,000 years. Now, of course, the evolution guy, he comes along and says, oh, no. No, the sun's been there for billions and billions and billions of years. And the evolutionist says, it's not only been there for billions of years, the sun got there from the Big Bang. And so let's pause here for a moment and think about the Big Bang. The Big Bang occurred a long, long time ago. We don't know how long ago it was, but according to evolutionary philosophy or evolutionary thought, it occurred billions and billions of years ago. That's a long, long time. A billion years is a long time. It's a lot longer than 6,000 years. In fact, when you compare 6,000 with a billion, it's just infinitesimal. It's just so tiny. It's just a dot, you know, on the page. And so, and I'm not here to argue with you evolutionists out there. I'm just here to use a little reason, logic, and common sense, as they say down here on the farm. You know, let's just think about it for a minute. This is your story now. I'm not trying to add anything now to your story. And you tell us now that this happened billions of billions of years ago. So I'm trying to fix that in my mind. I say, well, God, that's a long time. That's longer than 6,000 years ago. That's a long, long time ago. Okay. Now, the scientists over here tell us the sun is burning up. They tell us if the sun is shrinking by 0.1% per century, then that totals 1% per millennium. Hell, as dumb as I am, I can agree with that. That's right. Yeah, those numbers work out. So if the sun existed only 100,000 years ago, it would have been double its present diameter. And I thought about that and I said, yeah, that's right. You know, if you could measure the sun, and that's what these guys are claiming. Now, I'm not a scientist. I have never measured the rate by which the sun is being burned up. But you scientists out there, you evolutionists, and you evolutionists equate yourselves with scientists. You say it's burning up by 5 feet an hour. That's what it says right here. The sun is burning up at the rate of 5 feet per hour. They've been watching now for more than 100 years, and the evidence is conclusive. Every hour, the sun is shrinking by 5 feet. So if the sun is shrinking 0.1% per century, then it totals 1% per millennium. So if the sun existed only 100,000 years ago, it would have been double its present diameter. It really doesn't make any difference whether the sun's diameter is 750,000 miles or 500,000 miles or a million miles. It just tells us here that if it's 1% per millennium, and if the sun existed 100,000 years ago, it would have been double its present diameter. Yeah, I can figure that out. Well, that makes all the sense in the world. Now, we go back billions and billions of years. Now, there's another factor that comes into this evolutionary equation. It's called uniformitarianism. A guy by the name of Charles Lyell. Let me tell you this Charles Lyell story. Charles Lyell is one of the pillars of modern geology, and it was Charles Lyell who published his Principles of Geology back in the early 1800s. Charles Lyell's concepts are so widely accepted today that most people who believe in Lyell's concepts don't even know that it was Charles Lyell that originated these ideas. But it's from Charles Lyell's system of reasoning that a doctrine of origins was devised by simply projecting all of the natural processes that we observe through time, indefinitely. And in that way, catastrophes like Noah's flood and the Bible and Catholicism and all of this fairy tale nonsense is eliminated. And this process is called science. Now, I don't make it that way, you know, and I'm not here trying to argue with you. You know, I'm just here as a reporter, just saying, hey, well, that's the way it is. I'm a reporter. And that's what they're reporting. And I'm taking this out of the March 23rd, 1980 Newswire report. Now, I wish I could report to you that it was Reuters or Reuters or AP or UPI. I don't know which one of the three, but it says here in the article that it's a Newswire report. Yeah, I got to give you, I'm going to interrupt right now while you're mulling all this over, all you evolutionists out there. While you're mulling this over over here, I haven't told you anything new yet, but just bear with me. And let me tell you that you're listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard in 112 countries, more than 112 countries, daily, worldwide over the Internet and radio. Now, if you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Now, the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law. From the scriptural perspective, that's eight schools in all. The law school is a private, nonprofit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals by prearrangement. Now, the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. If you'd like more information, go to our website at georgegordon.org. And the Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has a radio log schedule and archives, and that can be accessed through the website as well. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the law school offers a free four-hour CD package, what we call our introductory CD package. It's the place to start. Be sure to order one by calling the law school and asking for it. The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. Now, these endorsements, these recommendations that we give, don't mean that those authors and publications that we endorse are necessarily going to reciprocate. Keep in mind that most of these authors and these publications that we cite here on the Law Hour may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans. I mean, they may have some axe to grind, whose viewpoint may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and Editorial Review either. However, these opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. And they do not necessarily represent the views, beliefs, or the opinions of the advertisers, sponsors, management, or staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. So if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, then go to our website, georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about fairy tales. Evolution is one of my favorite fairy tales. God, I love evolution. I love communism, too. I mean, I was a communist for, you know, first 37 years of my life. And then I woke up and said, you know, this communism thing is a fairy tale. I reported that to you last night. And then one day I woke up and I said, you know, this evolution thing is a fairy tale. And that's what I'm explaining to you right now. Here's why I think it's a fairy tale. And I think it's an adult fairy tale. You know, we tell our children about Christmas and Easter and Santa Claus and Easter bunnies and what, those are fairy tales. Or as Mark Twain would say, they're just damn lies because, you know, we all know that that's a lie. I'm not quite sure why it is we lie to our children like this. I'm not sure that it makes any sense. You know, you'd think that just common sense would say, well, why don't we just tell them the truth? Why don't we tell them that there is no such thing as Christmas, Easter, New Year's? Those are fairy tales. Those are big adult fairy tales that adults tell little children. They lie to little children, tell them about Santa Claus. Santa Claus doesn't exist. Santa Claus is a fairy. It's a fairy tale. But we do. Now, not only do we teach these fairy tales to our children, not only do we lie to our children about these crazy, preposterous things. But we lie to them about evolution, and we lie to them about religion. We lie to them about the Bible. We lie to them about God. I'm not quite sure what the purpose is. How does it benefit us to lie to our children? How does it benefit us to believe in these fairy tales? I pointed out the other day, it's a modality of denial. It's denial is what it is. So the psychologists and the shrinks, you know, they come along and say, well, what it is we can't face reality. We have this world and we live in it, and we just can't face the reality that there is a God out there that made this and created it, and because that would lead us to this conclusion, well, then this must belong to him. You know, I woke up one day, I didn't know where I came from, and my daddy explained it to me. It was my sex education when I was 12 years old. He explained to me where I came from. I was really surprised. I think I was about 11 years old, maybe 10. I just a young lad, and I didn't know where I came from, you know, and so my daddy explained to me about how there's sperms and eggs, and here I was, 10, 11 years old. I was really surprised that my daddy and mommy would be doing such things. Well, anyway, the sun here, getting back here to the sun is shrinking by 0.1% per century, then it totals 1% per millennium. Now, this has been going on for billions of years, and the reason we know that is because you evolutionists told us that. Yeah, you told us that based upon Charles Lyell's uniformitarianism, that what we see going on today has been going on for billions and billions of years, that you know, it's gradual evolution. That a long time ago there was this Big Bang. Now, this Big Bang sounds like an explosion sounds like a catastrophe to me. But we're assured that catastrophes don't occur and that Grand Canyons are made 1 inch per century by the Colorado River, which is running through the canyon and cut out all of that material that you see missing in that hole in the ground, was cut out by that river just the way you see it today, 1 inch per 100 years. That's what I heard when I got out there to the Grand Canyon. That's what the guide told me. And I said, wow. Boy, I bet that took a long time. So, going back here, billions and billions and billions of years. Now, if the sun is burning up at the rate of 5 feet per hour today, and that's what we see, that's what we observe. Now, I'm also trained in law, so I would have to say, well, how fast was it burning up 100, 500, or 5,000 years ago? And the evolutionist says 5 feet an hour. And I say, well, how do you know it was burning up at the rate of 5 feet an hour many years ago? And he says, well, because of Charles Lyell and evolution, because of uniformitarianism. And so I say, oh, okay. Well, you know, who are we to argue with a PhD with a science degree in physics, you know? And it's, you know, hell, I'm just a high school dropout. But for all the rest of us guys that are also high school dropouts, the answer to that is, and if you went into court, the judge would overrule you, throw that out, and say, that is assuming facts, not an evidence. We do not know how fast the sun was burning up 500, 5,000, or 5 million years ago because we don't have any observations. It could be that the sun was burning up at 1 foot per hour 5,000 years ago, or that it was burning up at the rate of 100 feet per hour 10 million years ago. We don't know. But we're assured, and we've been taught and trained, and we're ridiculed and impugned if we don't believe in Lyell's theory of uniformitarianism. So I'm going to just grant you that. Hell, I'm not going to argue with you. I don't know, and you say you do. I got to sit here and say it sounds like you're assuming facts, not an evidence to me, but you know, you've been to college and you got a degree, and by God, you probably are smarter than I am. I wouldn't even argue with you. So we got this guy over here with a PhD, smarter than I am. And now he's telling me this thing is burning up at the rate of 5 feet an hour. So we do the arithmetic, and sure enough, the guy's right again. If it's burning up at the rate of 5 feet an hour, That's 1% per millennium. If the sun existed 100,000 years ago, it would have been double its present diameter. All right, now remember I told you it was 750. Now I'm going to write 750 underneath that. Okay? And I'm going to add them up. 0, 0, 0, 0. 5 and 5 is 10. And 7 and 7 is 14. Carry 1, that's 15. That is 1, 2, 3, comma, 1, 2, 3, comma, 1,500,000 miles in diameter. All right. So if the sun is 750,000 miles in diameter today, that's the last number I saw. Or thereabouts, you know, this 750 and some change. If we doubled that, it would be 1,500,000. So 100,000 years ago, the sun must have been 1,500,000 miles in diameter. And uniformitarianism tells us that it's being consumed at the rate of 5 feet an hour. And what you see today is what's been going on for billions and billions and billions of years, said Carl Sagan. Okay, Carl's smarter than I am. Got degrees, got letters after his name. So I would suggest we just listen. This is their story. All right. Well, then 200,000 years ago, you know, if 100,000 years ago it was 1.5 million, and every 100,000 years, we got to add 750,000 miles, don't we? No, wait a minute. Because the bigger this thing gets, you know, the bigger this is, and we're taking 1%, 1% of bigger is less. But it's 5 feet per hour. 5 feet per hour. This is their story. Seems like to me that the bigger it gets, it should be burning less than 5 feet an hour as it's getting bigger and bigger. But that's not what they're telling us here. They're telling us, oh no, burns 5 feet an hour, no matter how big it is. Okay. Hell, I don't consider and argue with you. This is your story, evolution. I didn't write it. I'm reading it. And so, I'm just a layman, just a dummy, reading the Sunday newspaper here about the wonders and the miracles of science. I call this the miracle of random selection, evolution. Miracle of random selection. All right, so 100,000 years ago, the thing is 1.5 million years. Now, let's go back 20 million years. Well, then 20 million years ago, the surface of the sun would be touching the earth. Can you see that, boys and girls? Just do the arithmetic. You see, if the sun is 750,000 miles in diameter today, that means 100,000 years ago, it must have been 1.5 million years, or 1.5 million miles in diameter. So 20 million years ago, it must have been 93 million miles in diameter. So let's write 93 million down here. That's 93 with three zeros. And then we've got to add another three zeros. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yep, that's it. There we go. 93 million. 20 million years ago, the sun was 93 million miles in diameter. Now, that's not too big because they tell us they got suns out there that are millions of miles in diameter today. That boggles my mind. I gotta tell you, that's big. I don't know. I can't measure these planets, these suns, these galaxies. I don't have the means. I'm not smart enough. I don't have enough fingers and toes to count it all up. And my little calculator over here, when it gets up to 10 billion, it coughs, it sputters. It has a big E comes up on there, and it just goes blank. It's just blank with an E on it. And that's when you get to 9,999,999,999. And if I tried to put 0.9 on there, it just goes cough, sputter, E, blank. So we're getting into numbers over here that I can't handle. But hey, listen, we can all handle this. Do you remember when you went to school? I can remember when I went to school. You betcha I do. I was burning gasoline in my car and chasing all the girls of us. Now listen, when I went to school, Mr. Turner, the science teacher, informed us that the dinosaurs died out on planet Earth 65 million years ago. And his calculation has been confirmed many, many times. When I go into the national parks, you know, like Dinosaur National Park, and I read all of these neat stories about the dinosaurs and when they died out, and they've got these neat stories about how a comet came in, hit the Yucatan Peninsula, and blew up and caused a lot of mess and a lot of damage and killed all the dinosaurs 65 million years ago. Remember that? All right, now in evolutionary terms, they describe the Earth as being here for a long, long time. Millions and millions of years ago. In fact, they talk about the Earth 4 billion years ago. In fact, they when I was a kid growing up, we didn't know how old the Earth was, but we thought that it was 2 billion years old. This is when I went to high school. Now they tell us it's 4.2 billion years old. Now remember, where did the Earth come from? Where did our sun come from? Came from the Big Bang. Come on, kids, wake up. Pay attention now. Long time ago, when there was a dot about the size of the period at the end of this sentence, all of the matter in the universe was compacted into this little tiny space, the size of a period, at the end of this sentence. And it was so dense. It was so compacted that it caused some explosion to occur, and it blew up, and everything that you see out there today with the Hubble telescope is the results of... It's the results of... the Big Bang. All right, now that's the official story. And it came right out of the guys' mouths that went to college and have all the degrees. And these aren't religious guys now. These are the scientists. All right, so many, many, longer than 20 million years ago, longer than 65 million years ago, much, much longer, further back, billions of years. Now, we don't need to go back that far. We're just going to go back 20 million years. In fact, boys and girls, it would be helpful to us if we could write 4 billion, that's 4 with a comma, and then write 200, comma, a million, that's 3 zeros and 3 more zeros is 369. That's a big number. 4,200,000,000. Can you write that down, boys and girls, on your paper? Now, let's write 20 million. Right underneath it. So we write a 20 under the two zeros of the 200, and we write 000000. Can you see that you've got a 4 and a 2 with nothing under them? See, that's a long, long time ago. All right, 20 million years ago. 20 million years ago, at 5 feet per hour, the sun was 93 million miles in diameter. All right, let's write that down. 93, write it down, 93, comma, 000000. Now that's 93 with 6 zeros, 2 commas. All right. Now here's the kicker. 93 million miles is the distance from the Earth to the sun. Now you check me out now, sir. I got that Alpha Centauri thing wrong, but now you check me out and you see if this number isn't pretty close. You know, 93 million miles from downtown Springfield, Missouri, to the sun. And that's what I got down here, 93 million miles. Now, I'm going to give you a little bit more here to the equation. The Earth, you know our Earth here? It's just one of 9 planets. So you got the sun, and then the first planet's Mercury, the second planet's Venus, the third planet is Earth, the fourth planet's Mars, and then there's some more out there. Okay, we just need to be concerned about Earth. Between Earth and the sun, there's 2 other planets. One of them, Mercury, is about 36 million miles, and I think Venus was 60 million miles, something like that. So it's 30 million. 60 million, and 90 million. And there's your three planets. Okay. Now, those planets today, last time I heard, were circling around the sun, weren't they? All right. Still circling around the sun. Now, just 20 million years ago, which is about one-third of the period of time, back to where the dinosaurs were killed by that comet. Remember, the comet swooped in from outer space and hit the Yucatan Peninsula? That was 65 million years ago. But 20 million years ago, which is not as long ago as the dinosaurs were here when they got exterminated, the sun was 20 million miles in diameter. Excuse me. If the sun was 93 million miles in diameter just 20 million years ago, then there couldn't be any Mercury or Venus or Earth, could there? Because they would have all been burned up, wouldn't they? Huh? All right, now, remember, one evolutionist said, I'm not saying all of them say this, but one evolutionist said that when in this controversy between religion and evolution, that to accept religion in place of evolution would be unacceptable. I don't deny that. And I said at the beginning of this program, if I had to choose between Catholicism as a philosophy and evolution as a philosophy, I would be in a conundrum. I wouldn't know what the hell to choose. I mean, we got two fairy tales here. We got religion on the one hand, which is a fairy tale, and we got this evolution over here, which is another fairy tale. We got these two fairy tales. And I'm just taking the numbers here, kids, that I saw in the paper. Now, I'm assuming that you physicists that are watching the sun shrinking, and you biologists that are watching plants and animals evolve and all of this, and you're writing these books and propagandizing us in our high schools and colleges, I assume that you people are all real smart people, and I don't deny that. And hell, even the religious guys, you know, they go to college too, you know. And they get degrees after their names. Of course, they all believe in evolution, too. And all you guys are united in your belief that special creation, that is God, came down here and created all of this. It is a fairy tale. You don't believe that. I didn't come here to tell you that that's true, accurate, and correct, and you ought to believe it. I'm just listening to your story, and you're the one that tells me that billions of years ago, there was a Big Bang. And then you're the people that are telling me that Lyell's theory of uniformitarianism is true, accurate, and correct. And that the sun, we've been watching this now for 100 years, is burning up at the rate of 5 feet an hour. And then these are your numbers. And if it's 5 feet an hour, well, then 100,000 years ago, the sun was double its present diameter. And then 20 million years ago, it was 93 million miles in diameter. Check my arithmetic and see if that's correct. I did this arithmetic, and it looked like it was pretty accurate to me. And then 65 million years ago, the dinosaurs died out. But it looks like to me that just 20 million years ago, the sun was exactly where the Earth is circling the sun. All right, so if we went back 40 million years ago, then it looks like that the sun would have to be another 93 million miles in diameter. Where in the hell are these dinosaurs when all of this is going on? Huh? And then there was a story I read about the fishes they developed a million years ago here on planet Earth. Huh? How in the hell is all of this going on when none of these planets can even exist because the sun, by your own arithmetic, is bigger than the orbits of the planets, for crying out loud. And now I'm not so sure after reading these numbers that I couldn't believe in Catholicism. Even Catholicism, I think, makes more sense than that. Doesn't it? Now, let's suppose for the sake of our discussion over here that we went back to Genesis chapter 1, 2, and 3, and we just read it for what it says. It says 6,000 years ago, a guy by the name of God, we call him God, he doesn't call himself that, but we call him God, he came down here and he created all of this. Now, that's really spectacular. I don't know whether he did or not. I wasn't here. But then, you know, I wasn't here when the Big Bang happened either. It's all hearsay to me. But the Bible is an affidavit, and in the affidavit, this God says, I wrote the Bible, and I was here on creation day. And he made a report. He made a testimony. It's called the Old Testament. That's the Old Testimony. And then he made a New Testament called the New Testimony. He made two testimonies. These are sworn affidavits. He said, I'm swearing by my own self because there's nothing higher than me to swear by. See, God figured out one time there's no need for me to swear by the sun because I made the sun, and the sun is inferior to me. And since I'm superior to the sun, I'm going to swear by my own self because I'm superior to, and there's nothing higher than me to swear by. And then he told us not to swear at all because we couldn't. We couldn't make it true or false anyway. So, here's my report. Here's my report on evolution. It is a fairy tale. Fairy tale. That's just one aspect of evolution. I could sit here and talk to you. I could talk to you about Niagara Falls. Because the falls are falling away at a certain rate every year. And we can measure the rate by which the falls is moving back. Then we can go down and we can take a look at where the falls began. And we can measure the distance between the two. And then we can measure the time element. And the answer is 5,000 years. Niagara Falls, from the place it began to the place it is today, is less than 5,000 years old. We could take a look at erosion. Do you know, boys and girls, that if the earth erodes at the same rate that is eroding today, that it will be as smooth as a billiard ball in 14 million years. 14 million. Well, boys and girls, if the earth has been eroding at the same rate 14 million years ago that it is today, then it should be as smooth as a billiard ball, shouldn't it? Huh? Hey, listen, I ain't making these numbers up. I'm not smart enough to do that. I'm just taking them right out of the science book here. I'm just taking them right out. This is what these guys are telling us. And it's a fairy tale. But it's a fairy tale that we all love, isn't it? I mean, evolution is a fairy tale that's as comfortable as Christmas, Easter, and New Year's, which is another fairy tale that we got from religion. Now, you didn't get Christmas, Easter, and New Year's out of the Bible. Taint there. And it tells you not to practice Christmas, Easter, and New Year's, that they're pagan fairy tales. But then, why would we want to let God get in the way of a good time, a good story, and a good fairy tale? Huh? All right, we're about out of time. I got to give you a report here that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Remember, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard in more than 112 countries worldwide, daily, over the Internet and radio. Now, for more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The Law School is a private, nonprofit, non-sectarian, non-commercial law school. It's open to individuals by prearrangement. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. And the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Air time's up. We got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody. And good night, friends.